Good morning, everyone. Let's give a moment to ask God to join us here. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you today humbly asking to grant your wisdom so that the words spoken may be received in the hearts, the need to hear your word, and that you will decipher that word and let everyone be touched by your wisdom. Church is only good as if we can meet you in the service and have your power in our lives to change us. So, Father, we ask you now as we gather here in your name to be with us, to grant us your mercy and your wisdom and your love and your compassion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's something that I don't have to remind you of, but as a pastor, I guess I get to see it a lot, is that there is a lot of brokenness in this world. There's a lot of people that walk every day and they're suffering and they're going through all kinds of pain and turmoil, and it's a rough life. So I want to talk about a tale of two paths today and what the Bible says about that. There's a Yogi Berra. He had that great saying, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. And I think that's where we find ourselves, is there are many forks in the road in this life. And so I want to look at what the Bible says about these choices that we have to make in this life. You know, if I had two boxes here, one in my left hand and one in my right hand. I said, the one in my left hand is, if you choose that, you're going to be choosing a place of strife, of bitterness, of anger, unhappiness, unforgiveness. That's my left hand. In my right hand, you could choose, this is the path of happiness, of joy, of peace, God's peace. And if I ask every one of you here, which would you take, my left hand full of the bitterness and the strife and the unhappiness, or if you take the life of joy and the life of peace, the life essentially that God offers, I don't think there's anyone in here that would choose this left-hand box. Nobody in the right mind would do that when it's offered that way. Choose this or choose this. And yet, that's exactly what we do. And many of us, maybe not even knowingly, choose the left hand. Because we were created as creatures of choice. God gave us free will. I'm going to do several readings from the Bible today to just give you God's word on this, and then I'm going to amplify it a little bit with a couple stories. But it says, in the very first book, the book of Genesis, we see that when God created us, he gave us this. He says, see, I'll just read it. He says, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, and it shall be food for you. And also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth. I have given you this whole paradise. You can have it all. The only thing that I ask you is don't eat of this tree, which is the tree of knowledge. Have everything else, but don't choose this. And what happened? They chose the left hand, not the right. They didn't choose the peace of God. So that has been in us genetically. Now I want to go to the book of Deuteronomy. And here what we have is Moses has led the people, the Israelites, for 40 years across the desert. And you know a lot of that story, many of you do, about the rebellion and they did this. But he is getting ready. Actually, Joshua will take him into the promised land. But this is Moses speaking to his people. And listen to what Moses tells the Israelites right before they are to go into this right hand, this special place set aside for God, the land of Canaan, across the Jordan. He said, see, I have set before you today life and good or death and evil. And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. Two paths. And then I want to take you to the book of Matthew. Now we're in the New Testament. What has changed? Jesus is talking to a group of people and his disciples, and he says, he gives them two choices. There's two roads, like the Yogabera. Two paths. You come to this fork in the road, and it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. I've preached on this before a long time ago, and I want to bring this back. There's two paths. He said there's this wide path that seems very easy, and then there's this narrow path that seems very hard. And sometimes I think people, you know, have been taught that one, in other words, it's hard to get into heaven. In other words, when you die, it's hard to have eternal life. I don't think that's what it's saying at all. He's talking about this life, this world now, here in this world. You can have the kingdom here and now. It says so in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And what he's saying here is it's if you follow the normal path, the way that most people go, you are not going to receive the gifts of God's peace, his joy, and his happiness. And how do we do that? I want to tell you about the narrow path, and I'll tell you why it's narrow, and I'll tell you why it's hard to attain. I'm going to take you to one more spot in the Bible as soon as I figure out what I did with my glasses. For some days I can read this, and today I can't. I don't know why. I guess because I'm a few days older. I hate to see what a week's going to bring. So Jesus says, look, there's this wide path. It leads to destruction. And that's what I see with so many people that come to me with problems today. And there's this narrow path that leads to this God's peace, God's love, God's joy. And so when I sit down with people that are going, I don't care what they're going through, whether it be divorce, whether it's through business problems, it's a lot of anguish. People have a lot of anguish. There's a lot of brokenness. Here's what I send them to. I call this the keys of the kingdom. This is why it's a narrow path. Listen to what Jesus says. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Love your enemies. That's hard. That's a narrow path. Do good to those who hate you. The path's getting a little narrower, because I don't know if I can get through there. Bless those who curse you. Path just got a little narrower. I don't think I can do that. And pray for those who spitefully use you. Now it's narrower yet. Because see, a whole bunch of people say, I ain't doing that. I'm sticking, no way, that's not right. I'm not forgiving that person. I'm not letting that go. I'm going to hang on to this dead fish in my pocket. And you know what happens when you put a dead fish in your pocket? It starts to stink. And that's what we choose. And yet, I can go around and say, which box would you choose? And everybody say, no, I want the path of peace. I want the path of love. I want God's joy in my heart. And yet, here Jesus explains, how do you get that? To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from whom he who takes away your cloth, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, do to them likewise. There's the golden rule put in this parable. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? See, you got a lot of people say, listen, I love the people who love me. I'm on the good path. No, you're still in the wide path, because Jesus says you got to love your enemies, those that despise you, those that are calling your names, those are the ones that are talking behind your back. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. I call those some of the kingdom rules. But when people come to me, and they got all this turmoil in their life, they don't want to hear that. Yeah, but you don't understand. You don't know what that person did to me. You don't know how they're discrediting me, how they're talking behind my back. I've had people talk behind my back. I mean, you know, you're in the public eye, you're going to have that. But Jesus says, look, you got to love those people. That's what Jesus did. That the wide road is easy that leads to destruction, not eternal destruction. It ruins your life. That's what he's talking about. The narrow path, which gives you life, is hard because are you going to live these principles that Jesus teaches us? And you can only do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you can only have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life is if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. We tend to become our choices. It's a choice. God made us free will agents. We choose. You choose to love. You choose to love. Or you choose to hold on to anger and hate. It's a choice. It truly is a choice. It's a tough choice. But it's a choice. A couple years ago, someone came to me, doesn't go to this church, but she knows me very well. She knows that I'm a pastor. Her life was a mess. Marriage falling apart, kids going in all directions, losing her job, in tears, broken in every way. And she was at my house, and it happened to be spring, and my tulips were up. And it was a grand display of all my flowers. And she's telling me all these problems. And I got this and this and that person. And what am I going to do? And this person. And it's just on and on and on. You know, the story is the same for most of us. It's painful. She's wallowing in her pain and she's looking for something. And I had her look outside and I put my arm around her. I said, see these flowers out here? I said, the reason they're blooming is because they're in good soil. They've been planted in a place, in an environment that allows them to complete their cycle and blossom. And I can assure you, even in all your pain, God wants you to bloom. He wants you to blossom. But these circumstances that you've created for your life, you have planted your life in gravel. You can't take root. You can't develop. You will never blossom until you remove yourself from all these issues. And it's a choice. And unfortunately, because I know this person, not there yet. Not willing to forgive and forget and surround herself with other Christians and other people who believe in God. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Hey, I've been around Christians, and let me tell you, that's not always a pleasant deal either. Right? You know why? Because we're all broken. We're all messed up. How many times do I have to tell you that? The beautiful thing is, the reason you want to be part of a loving church family, wherever you find that, is because we are all seeking the same thing, and we are called to come together. The Bible says you must continue meeting together because we need to support one another and lift one another up when we hit these struggles. When the road gets narrow, we are actually to help guide people through the narrow path. That doesn't happen much anymore. We come to church, we say hello, good morning, how are you, let me give you a hug, and then we leave and we go to brunch and we don't even think about it. We don't surround ourselves and call on people that need our support and need our love. The real true purpose of church is to help all of us, everyone in this family, walk into the narrow path. And I'm going to tell you what, it takes a lot of support. We need to support each other. There's times when I don't want to go through the narrow path. I just don't want to. It's hard. It's like the Bible says, the path is narrow and it's very hard. And very few who find it. It's very few people in this world today that are going about life and have the peace of God and the joy of God no matter what's going on in their life. And that is what God offers us. And the way we get that is because of the absolute sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is really the gospel in a nutshell. A few years back, I got a beautiful letter written by Leah Kaburek. And she asked me a very unique question. She said, Kent, why would God create Hitler? You say, what has this got to do with this? Because I'm talking about choices. See, here's the thing. God, when God made Hitler, he was born like any of us. He was a little boy. He probably played with toys. He probably loved his mama and loved chocolate cake and going fishing and playing outside and laughing and had friends. But somewhere along the line, he began making choices that led him down the path of literally of destruction and destroyed many. God didn't create him evil. We do it with our own choices. You become your choices. Now here's the beautiful thing about this lesson. I don't care where you're at. Where you're at in life. I don't care what's going on. How miserable you are. You have a choice today. You can change that. You can change it immediately. And here's the thing. I've got people say, oh yeah, but I burn bridges. That person will never want to talk to me again and this and whatever. You know, I burn too many bridges. In other words, if you get them to the point where they start admitting, yes, I've made some mistakes in my life and I don't know if I can continue this path. Here's the beautiful thing that I noticed. Let's say that I am just the rudest, goofiest, drunkest, obnoxious, crazy person you've ever met. And that was me for a while. It was me. I wanted to be the life of the party. Drank too much, partied too much. And by the way, I was in church. Did crazy things. Crazy things. I know some of you are shaking your head. Yeah, that's me. Trust me. But what happened was, as I kept studying God's word and praying for God into my life, my choices begin to change. And I can guarantee you can ask some people that knew me 20-some years ago about how I was and how I am now. I'm different. Way different. Am I perfect? Oh, absolutely not. But I'm way different. Because I started making different choices. And what I'm saying is, if you're in a job and you feel stuck and you're lost, or you're in a marriage and it's just, what I'm saying is you can make a change that will affect the people around you and you in your heart. And what you do is you do what Jesus teaches us. Fill our heart. Jesus, really, what he's saying is, look, it's not about you. You need to learn people. Make others more important than yourself. You become a servant. Jesus was a servant. When you start having a servant's heart, what do I say on my blog? Worst question in the world that leads to more divorce and more problems and more brain. What about me? We got to stop asking that. What about me? No, what about you? What can I do to serve you? What can I do to love you? What can I do to lift you up? And as we do that, as we become more like Jesus, our choices change and our life changes. Our choices will change our life. Does that make sense? Let's have the crew come back up as I close this out. It's about good news. That is what the whole gospel is. We come to church not just to hear the music, to hear a preacher. We come to meet God and receive the Holy Spirit in our life to empower us to start making different choices, to start changing our life so that we can walk this life in a different way. Two paths. There's always a choice. On how you react. The last Sunday I preached here, I was talking about purpose. What's our primary purpose? And I said the primary purpose is to glorify God. And so, with the example I give you is, no man, before you say or do or think anything, ask yourself, is this going to glorify God? If I say this, is it going to glorify God? If I do this, is it going to glorify God? If I act this way, is it going to glorify God? If you can even just do that, it'll start changing your choices because you learn to love God. And when you love someone, you want to bless the object of your affection. And when Jesus becomes the object of your affection, you want to bless him. And what did he say? Do what I say. And live as you walk down the narrow path. Amen.